You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can just feel a different energy, especially in the locker room. There's a lot of new faces here, so guys are still trying to, you know, feel each other out. You know, obviously you have a new quarterback in the flow of things, you got a new tight end in the flow of things, different receivers. So it's obviously a lot of different moving parts. But I think the biggest thing is that we all want one common goal, and that's just to keep winning games. And, you know, we're having a lot of fun doing it. It's probably the most fun I've had in OTA so far, knowing that it's only been the first one. But, you know, really excited to see what we have because there's a lot of new guys, and, you know, I think DA is putting all his chips forward so we can make this thing happen. So I'm really looking forward to what the season has.
And we're back here on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. Subscribe. And that was Juwan Johnson. I just thought it was a really interesting comment. You know, like no one held a gun to his head, but he volunteered that it feels a lot different. Like the energy feels different this time. I don't know why that is. I don't know if part of it is Dennis Allen going into year two, he is more confident in that role. He's learned from some mistakes. There's a new tight ends coach. Maybe that's part of it. There's a new quarterback. Maybe that's part of it. But either one way, however you want to explain that, I think that's a notable thing. Like that he feels like this is a very different energy, that Dennis Allen has pushed all of his chips to the center of the table. That's him saying that, not me. But I mean, I do feel like that's kind of what happens. Like you got your whole coaching staff in here now. Like you don't have an excuse. Like you better put up or probably hit the bricks. I think it's interesting.
No, definitely think that's a huge factor. The DA having a lot more confidence. He has his staff. We know it was kind of basically, you know, he inherited everything last season and the continuity was keeping everybody intact. But obviously coaches go their different ways and some, you know, were by choice and some weren't by this team that they ended up losing. But I am curious to know how much that new tight ends coach is going to make a difference too, because we've seen his past resume has been pretty impressive with some of the tight ends he has worked with.
Yeah. And I think Juwan, you know, he's an interesting guy. Like you look back a couple of years, he's not even a tight end. He's a UDFA. You don't even know anything about him. He's just a big dude. Now he's like remade his body. Like he's a big guy. Like I didn't get a chance to ask him, but like I'm sure he's put on more weight. Like last year I think he was up to like 235, maybe 240, and he's, you know, you're talking about, okay, can he block? And that's the thing Dennis Allen said about Lucas Kroll, can he block? And you know, he's the elder statesman in that tight end room now,
right? He was asked about that too. It's like, what is it like to be the old man now?
Right. And here's what Derek Carr had to say on Juwan early on.
A couple of the guys, I don't know if I did it with everybody, but as I've, you know, been watching the last, you know, few seasons, even going back to when Drew was here, I've been watching year after year, and just learning, watching these guys run routes and watching these guys break and catch balls. And I've been sending them clips of things like, do this on this route. Please do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. And I've been super positive. I haven't sent any that I was like, hey, don't do this. You know, haven't done that yet. Trying to build some chemistry. You know, I think there's some things where you watch the film and you're like, I mean, you guys see it. You guys have seen it more than I have, where you're like, wow, you know, he's special talent. And hopefully we can get it all come together for everybody, because if everyone just does their job at the highest level, you know, we have a good, talented group that hopefully we can score some points.
Scoring points would be nice. That was definitely not happening last season.
Yeah, and I mean, and they've said this in jest, but like, Derek Carr is very familiar with a tight end of Juwan Johnson's ilk, right? Like he's had a lot of success with Darren Waller, a guy who I don't think was a no-brainer star tight end when he got into the league. Like they kind of built that together, and there's no reason to think that they can't have a similar type of connection. That's why you see Juwan Johnson up the seam, and it's like, yeah, that's got to become like the go-to. Like, when you need a big play, he should be a guy you think about, because, you know, like, Michael Thomas for so long has been like a very impressive athletic marvel of like the contested catch. Juwan Johnson's a more athletic player, and he's bigger, and like, he's a matchup nightmare up the seam, and you just got to be able to take advantage of it. And they did last year, especially in the red zone. But I think that's just scratching the surface on what that guy can do.
No, definitely one of those guys. We've seen that progression and the arrow just continually going up, and hopefully that continues for Juwan, because he just obviously the great attitude, the body's looking fantastic, and just overall that catchability is so key, especially in the red zone, where this team just, I felt, had to settle too much last season on field goals. And obviously six is better than three. That's no dummy. You know, anyone could do math there.
Yeah, it is. It's two threes, even, you might say.
Ooh.
Juwan's also got a baby on the way. I think they're due in July. So congrats.
Perfect timing. The wife's going to love it. You got a newborn and he's off to training camp.
Right. I'm sure that'll be easy to deal with. But all right. So this is just one more clip. Like, one thing Derek Carr said that I thought was just an interesting way to phrase things is he's asking questions. And when he says that, sometimes it's actually asking questions. Other times it's just throwing a guy in the ball and seeing what he does. And he did that with Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson today. And I think it's just some good insight into his approach to the game of football.
That's what it's about, you know, giving guys chances, you know, make plays. You know, you saw Olave, you know, I had to move like in the thing, but I still throw it. Let's see if, you know, see what happens, you know, and he goes up, makes a great catch. And, you know, that's what you want to see. You know, Jake made a great one to the young buck, you know, on the sideline like that. That's the kind of stuff that you want to see, you know, giving Juwan a chance down the seam. You know, you want to test out this time to test it, you know, and see, you know, how guys break and, you know, all those different things, how they see certain coverages. I'm really just asking a lot of questions. You know, I'm asking a lot of questions from the coaches because I want to speak the same language they're speaking. I never want me to say something that's separate from them, because that creates division. Not that it would here, but I always want to. I'm just in the belief that if we're all saying the same thing, we've all believed the same way, you know, better things can happen. And so, you know, I'm really just asking a lot of questions. Hey, you know, and I sit next to Pete. Hey, do we want him to release? No, we want that. Okay, I see it the same way. You know, that kind of stuff. Before I just come out, hey, release like this, and they're like, no, you know, all that stuff. So. We're working through all that, but this is an important time for me to, you know, get in a huddle and get used to throwing to someone in a gold helmet. You know, I did last year one time, but hopefully not too many more times.
Yeah. He and, Derek and Foster both have, poked fun at themselves for that Raiders game last year, which good, because they deserve it.
But Carr, I just love the fact that he said that now is the time to try things out. Obviously, it's like, you know, the organized team activities, or, you know, your time in camp, it's time to work through things. And why not, you know, try something new or try something you're not that comfortable with at this point, and not trying to do it during the regular season, obviously. I love the whole demeanor of Carr, too. And I think, I don't know, everything just seems to be falling into place pretty well for this team. Despite how grim things were last year, a lot of positives to look forward to, I think.
He has a very calming presence. And I think this time last year, there was a lot of questions of, okay, can Jameis be the guy? You know, what is this offense going to look like with Pete Carmichael leading the show? And I do think that we found that the Jameis Pete Carmichael combo was not optimal. I don't know if that's going to be the case in a backup role. I actually think like the Saints might have the best backup situation in the NFL. Jameis has been very supportive of Derek. Derek has said that. And like, I would expect nothing less. Like, that's just Jameis Winston. Like, you can question whether he can be the starting quarterback all you want. You're never going to question if he's a good teammate, because he is, objectively.
Yeah, he's a fantastic rah-rah guy. He is there to lift anyone up. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, he's great. He's great. And he's running around. The fact that he was willing to stay and be a backup, I think, tells you a lot about Jameis, because he could have been a backup somewhere else if he felt slighted by them giving his job away. Right. Like, there's a difference between being a good sport about something and just leaning into it because you believe in what's happening. And that's what he did. So that's kind of cool to see. But for Derek, one of the things that I think really kind of cemented this marriage of quarterback offensive coordinator is Pete Carmichael needs certain things from his quarterback. He needs a guy who is going to take ownership of the play at the line of scrimmage, because there's no such thing as a perfect play call. There are perfect situations that you get yourself into. And until you see what the defense is doing, you're guessing. So, like, you need someone who's going to go up to the line and be able to identify what the best option would be. And one thing that Derek said that I think is worth noting, it's like, you're not just changing plays to change plays. There's no point in checking from a good play to another good play. That's just a waste of your time. But you do want to get out of a bad play if it's there. And you need to be able to identify that. And that's something that I think he's done really well over the course of his career. And it's something he did well with John Gruden, who is a very similar offensive mind to what Pete Carmichael is asking him to do. And this is what Carr said when he was asked about kind of being in control at the line.
For me, it's I always want to just put us in a good play, you know, and we'll grow to that. You know, right now I'm learning how to say our words and get out of the huddle and get the snap and, you know, complete a pass, you know, and hand the ball off to the right guy, you know, and all those things. There's a lot of work to go, but, you know, eventually down the road as we keep building and get comfortable, those checks and the things and all that kind of stuff, the more I can put on my shoulders, I think the more that I can help the team, with my mind, you know, before I even have to make a decision with my arm.
I thought it was funny, too, what Carr mentioned. He's like, you talk to Pete Carmichael Jr. for 5 minutes and you fall in love with the guy. And I was like, I don't know about how Saints fans feel about that one.
Well, I mean, yeah, I from a football perspective, I'm sure he's very effusive. Like, he knows what he's talking about. The question I think most Saints fans have is, can he lead an offense? And that's a question I have, too. Like, I don't question his game planning ability. I don't question his understanding of the game. Like, I don't think it's passed him by. I just question whether he can be a leader of men, right? And that's kind of this like weird phrase that you throw around. But, you know, like a guy like DeMario Davis, for example, you would never in a million years question whether people will follow his direction, right? He's just a commanding presence. You never question that about Sean Payton either. But like a guy like Mike McDaniel, right? I would have those questions about. It turns out works out pretty well for him, right? So, you know, like for different reasons, but that's going to be something this year that I think is important, is not only having the offensive coordinator, but having the quarterback and the quarterback's coach and the running back, everyone on the same page, pulling the same direction. Hopefully that kind of bleeds into the season where you can see it and it just feels more cohesive.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. And a lot of I've heard that Carmichael was actually a more aggressive play caller than even Sean Payton, but I don't feel like we saw that.
Yeah, I think it depends on your definition of aggressive. Because I actually think that they took more shot plays last year than they had with Drew Brees in the final few seasons. But it's like your baseline. What's your baseline? You know, and like right. A screen isn't an aggressive play call, but it seems like that if it gets a 40-yard catch and run, right? Like that play against the Packers a few years ago, that wasn't an aggressive play call, but it ended up in a touchdown. And last year, like we didn't have like any screens called. Like that's not an aggressive play. That's just a smart play when you do it right. And
something like, the team's known for too.
Yeah, right. Like if the trade-off is more screens and less aggressive play calling, I'd prefer that one because you want screens in your offense. Anyway, I do think that's something. And I also think okay, yeah, he can put his foot on the throat of a team when you're up 40 points. Like that's aggressive. I think back to that Packers game. I'm sorry, Colts game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But, you know, one other thing that I think is worth noting, and I think, you know, I think Jameis, his issues were not about checking into the correct place. So I think he probably could have got that part of it done. I do think that he struggled to set protections and he didn't do it well enough in the games he was in there, especially last season. 2021 was a little different, I think, in terms of, you know, the offense was a little different. Sean Payton was a little more domineering. He could lead you to water where I don't know if Pete can. But, like, the protection issues were very apparent from week one, week two, week three. And it's part of the reason he got, you know, eaten alive. And that's why he ended up with injuries. And this is what Derek Carr said on, like, why he feels the ownership of setting protections, which is not always the case. In a lot of offenses, you'll see the center deal with a lot of those protection checks. And in the Saints offense for so long, it was Drew Brees working with Eric McCoy or working with Max Unger, right? But this is what Derek Carr had to say on that.
The way I was taught is, you know, if you're in control, you know where your problems are, you know. And, you know, you do all that studying, all that, you know, all that preparation just to, you know, break the huddle and let someone else make the decision. You know, I've always felt that if I like to be in control of the game, you know, and I like to make those points. And I'm not right every time, but if I'm not right, at least I know where my answer's at, right? And with these defenses, it's so complicated sometimes that you're not going to be 100%. But if I'm not 100%, where's my answer? And so that's how I was trained, and that's how I grew up in the certain system, in this kind of protection system. And so that's also watching your big brother get sacked a million times, you know, makes you want to be in control of things too.
Yeah, he saw his brother get abused for sure.
He sure did. those Texans games. And David Carr, I called David Derek there. This is just asking for trouble. David Carr was a number one overall pick, and you just got toasted in that Texans offense that never had a chance.
Was that their very first draft pick or no?
I can't remember. I know the Texans were the team that drafted Mario Williams ahead of the Saints. Ooh. Right. Taking Reggie Bush. And I remember at the time, everyone's like, what the hell are you doing? And now if a team decided to draft a running back number one overall, they'd get laughed off the stage.
Yeah. Think how times that. Change, right?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Yeah, but at that point, everyone was like, of course you're going to take Reggie Bush number one overall. Come on. What are you thinking? Oh, anyway.
He was 2002. 2002, David Carr, the first pick of the Houston Texans.
The Texans history?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
What's crazy, after the Texans took David Carr, the Carolina Panthers grabbed Julius Peppers afterwards. Oof.
Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
Man, great basketball player. I think he went to the Final Four with North Carolina. I can't remember. He had some like crazy accolade of like being the only player to go to the Final Four and do something else. Maybe go to the Final Four and a Super Bowl, which I'm sure that is true because you have to play basketball to go to the Final Four. But yeah, it's definitely interesting to me of how does that change this offense? Does the offensive line look better? You know, that was something that for a long time, the Mannings, like even as they were declining in talent level, and you could see it, their arms were kind of turning into jello and they were never mobile, but like they have this big brain and it's kind of, you know, you got to put something in the jug head. And like they made their offensive line better in front of them. And that's part of the reason they were able to survive for so long in the NFL. And it's like, how do you quantify that? Like you don't see it. There's no stat that says like, oh yeah, the quarterback made sure they, you know, the right guard knew where he was supposed to go on this play, and that's what saved him from getting blown up by, you know, on a A-gap blitz, right? Like, there's nothing that quantifies that except the play worked. But a lot of times I think that is the difference between an offense running efficiently and an offense bogging down. And so having the quarterback not only taking ownership of the protections, but doing it well can change games. And so hopefully that's kind of the missing piece that was not there last year. That's my glass half full take on that.
No, I think that's actually fantastic, just because even hearing Carr at OTAs, just, you know, that voice barking out things. Yeah, we didn't get that last season from Jameis or Andy Dalton. It was all on the O-line. It was Cesar Ruiz making the calls on the line.
It was. He was doing a lot of it. And then you lost a lot of offensive line. One of the issues with that setup in relying on the offensive line to set the protections themselves is offensive linemen get hurt all the time. Like, it's just a matter of time. And, you know, I know Teron Armstead actually had a pretty big involvement in some of the protections being set. And, like, that just comes with being a veteran and being able to see stuff that you identify and you can tell. Like, there were clips where you could actually hear Teron being like, he's not coming. And then like the blitz would like back off, you know? And it's like, that's gotta be a tough thing. I remember there was an interview with Peyton Manning where he was talking about Ray Lewis, and this is very different, but also the same kind of concept where he would have a play and he'd be like, oh, it's perfect play. And then you'd hear Ray Lewis and you'd be like, it's a screen, watch the screen. And then Peyton would be like, God damn it, he called time. I'm like, he knows the play. And it's just kind of funny. It's like that is such that cat and mouse thing that people don't see, because you're watching the broadcast, you're watching the game, you don't hear it. You're not in the huddle. You're not at the line of scrimmage. That is as big a part of anything as you being successful is doing those little minute things correctly. And that's why, you know, I'd much rather have a veteran quarterback than a baby quarterback, you know?
No, and the difference, I mean, I'm curious to see too, just because that is a big factor that, you know, that's going to pressure, that job, whatever you want to say, is back on with Derek Carr running the show, and alleviates that from, you know, the offensive line having to worry about it. It's a pretty big factor, I think.
It definitely, the offensive line definitely appreciates it.
Absolutely.
But all right, I know, Steve, you got to go. I do want to leave you with one more clip here, and it's talking about baby quarterbacks. Well, we have a baby New Orleanian here, and I mean that in the very figurative sense, because it's Derek Carr. He had his first power outage of, like, apparently his life.
Right. Arriving in, that in California?
I guess they don't lose power anywhere else. Here is him talking about his 5-hour power outage.
Man, you know what? We freaked out a little bit. I was like, is this going to be forever? Like, does it ever come back on? You know, I was trying to check on my phone, like, when our street, they had the little street lines. I'm like checking when it's going to come back on. It's like 5 hours. I ain't never been without power 5 hours. And my grandmother said, you're going to be all right. You know, she grew up no power. And so she's like, you're going to make it. Just turn some candles, light some candles if you need to. But no, we're working on a generator. I'm working on that. I've learned that's pretty important. But we're working on that. But we did make it. We survived. I didn't know if my kids were going to make it, but they made it. They were all right.
Better get used to it, Derek.
Never had a 5-hour power outage. Just like, sir, may I interest you in a 5-day power outage? Oh,
please no. Please no.
Like, it's just so funny to me. Hopefully he never has to deal with longer than a 5-hour power outage. That's my wish for him.
Just wait for your, you know, hurricane warning, hurricane season. And he's going to go, oh man, now I'm following all these spaghetti models. And oh, it's going this way, it's going that way. What do I do?
Yeah, he's going to wish he never left Vegas. Oh man. But no, I mean, I think this offseason is going to be a lot of fun to watch and to cover, because you like, and for the same reasons I think that Juwan Johnson feels like the energy came full circle is a little different. It's fun. It's a lot of fun because, you know, you feel like optimistic, right? Like, you feel like the pieces are in place now that, you know, with, you know, stuff like Alvin Kamara's lawsuit or criminal trial notwithstanding, you're in a really good position and everything is set up for success and you just got to go out there and take it. And so it's just going to be very fun to watch this group kind of mold together. And hopefully the season comes and there is this really great product on the field and they win a bunch of games. And it's just a palate cleanser from the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era. And you can kind of start fresh because that's what the last two seasons felt like to me. And that's what I think made it frustrating is it was just the ghost of Sean Payton and Drew Brees like hanging over the franchise. And that includes the final year Sean Payton was here, because I feel like that also included the ghost of Sean Payton actually in the room, because I don't think you were getting the full go Sean Payton that season. And so hopefully that changes. Hopefully they can kind of create their own identity with this group. And there's something that's fun to watch, because it's been a while since you've gotten to the end of a sports season in New Orleans and felt like, man, this is great. Let's do it again.
No, and hopefully, like you say, the pieces all come together, works out. We recognize the strength of schedule. If you want to look at that as being, you know, obviously in favor of this team, it looks like it's worked out with the fact of how their travel is set up, the bye week, the competition, even just in the division and in the conference. This team should be a playoff contender.
Easiest damn schedule in Saints history.
According to
hyphen Bobby Hebert. That's what he says. But all right, I think that's going to wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We have another set of OTAs coming up on Tuesday, so we should have an episode coming at you Tuesday morning and I'm getting you ready for that. So we'll have to come up with something. It's going to be weird because it's like we're talking about the same thing over and over again. Sure, we'll find something. Sure, something will happen over the weekend. Maybe Yasir Durant will get cut. We have to talk about that. But yeah, otherwise, listen to Sports Talk 4 to 8 p.m. I'll be on there with Steve on Friday. That'll be a good time.
Yeah, unless somehow, I don't think LSU baseball can preempt us.
That's a good point. Who knows?
Who knows, right?
You're playing right now as we record this.
Yes.
All right. That's it. Who dat? See you on Tuesday. Peace.
Who dat?